Europe agrees on a bank tax.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. The British government today continues to grapple with an emergency budget that includes a big tax increase and spending cuts. But one measure included in that plan has proven very popular, a new tax on banks. Supporters are speaking out in London and all across Europe, but still, the idea hasn't been getting the warmest of receptions here in the U.S. Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London to talk about it. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
A bank tax in the U.K., is this sort of punishment for the financial crisis?
Partly, yes. The government here says the banks helped create the crisis, so they should help clean up the mess. But the tax won't be punitive. It's expected to raise about $3 billion a year. Not a huge amount, given the size of Britain's banking industry.
But is this is the global economy, right? I'm sure there are some critics who say that the banks will just move somewhere else. I mean, where there's not a tax, right?
That's the worry. But coinciding with yesterday's budget in Britain, France and Germany, also big banking centres, said they're going to have a similar tax, so no point in banks relocating there. And this does put pressure on the US to push through its own bank levy, which seems to have become bogged down in Washington. Bank analyst Michael Press says this move by Britain, France and Germany makes it easier for the US to follow suit.
If politicians on Capitol Hill wanted to press ahead with any kind of similar duty and levy in the States, I mean, they could make that point that it's quite possible to do this without it really having any great impact on the competitive position.
But Press says Wall Street may well argue that by not imposing a bank tax, the US could steal a march on European rivals and attract more international bank business to the US.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
A disappointing existing home sales report kept investors in the selling mood. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 148 points, closed at 10,293. European markets are following suit today, off about 0.5% at the moment. Asian markets were pretty sour as well today. The Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev, met with California's governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, last night. Today, the Russian leader will tour Silicon Valley. He's going to meet with tech honchos at Google, Twitter, and Cisco Systems. Why is Medvedev in the Golden State? From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports.
50 years ago, as the Soviet Union struggled to feed itself, Premier Nikita Khrushchev visited Iowa to learn about farming. Now, as President Medvedev struggles to move Russia from an oil-based economy to a knowledge-based one, he's visiting California. Back home, he's promised tax breaks and incentives to develop a tech hotbed outside Moscow that's being dubbed Russia's Silicon Valley. Esther Dyson is an American journalist who's been investing in Russian tech startups for 20 years and is involved in the new project.
For Silicon Valley to be successful, it doesn't need just government support, it needs popular support. Because these people need to say, that's where I want my kids to work.
Dyson says it's not just a financial shift that's needed among Russian citizens, but a cultural one.
Now, if you tell your mother you're going to go into business, she says, oh dear, going to government, it's safer, it's stable, you'll get rich.
That is what Medvedev is trying to overcome. After his California adventure, he'll head to Washington, where he'll meet with President Obama on Thursday. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Vanguard, a client-owned company where the clients own the funds and the funds own the company. Learn more at Vanguard.com.
Now, it's not a piece of mail that's welcomed everywhere, the jury summons. It's a civic obligation, yes, but in this recession, jury duty can also be a financial burden, and that's making it harder to find jurors. Marketplace's Nancy Fargali reports.
Richard Gabriel is the president of a national trial consulting firm in Los Angeles. So he is asked the same question every single day.
How do I get out of jury service?
Sorry, he doesn't have an answer. But he says courts are having a tougher time with folks trying to get out of jury service. Blame the economic downturn. Jury service can affect those who are unemployed, especially. It can mean less time to look for work. Last year in Los Angeles County, more than 25% of the jury pool were excused because of financial hardship. Gabriel says the recession has stressed court systems all over the country.
Judges have actually gotten tougher on some jurors because they've heard so many excuses over the years.
But the real pressure is that states are hard-pressed themselves, so they can't raise jury payments. California only pays $15 a day. Gail Rudeman-Fuhr is the site judge for the Metropolitan Courthouse in Los Angeles. She wishes states paid more, but she says judges have a strict policy on who can be dismissed for economic reasons.
A true financial hardship would be someone who really won't be able to pay their bills. They're going to be thrown out of their apartment or their house.
Most major cities have to call more than 10,000 jurors a day in order to fill jury boxes. Still, Judge Fuhr says that the public should remember this.
If everyone who has some difficulty is excused, you're going to have a jury of either senior citizens or very rich people. That is not a cross-section of our society.
Here in California, there are no plans to raise the jury payment from $15 a day. But there is another solution that some local court systems are trying, sending out even more jury summons. In Los Angeles, I'm Nancy Fergali for Marketplace.
And finally, a Florida woman had a spark of an idea to get out of work early. The St. Petersburg Times reports 40-year-old Michelle Perino was accused of starting a fire at her office. A friend told sheriff's authorities besides the blaze, Perino shut off the building's power supply and adjusted phones so no calls could come in. Office mates became suspicious when Perino, during a staff meeting, mentioned where the office fire had started, in a file cabinet. Nobody there had been told that detail. She'll serve a few months in jail and can have no contact with fellow employees. Seems she accomplished that whole getting out of work thing. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Check us out online at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.